Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line, as promised, are our two guests, one of them in New York, one of them in Los Angeles. Good morning to Shloime and Peter. How are you guys?
Doing well, thanks.
All right, excellent. So, Shloime, you are certainly no stranger to our program. We get hold of you anytime we want to hear about friendship in the Middle East and some of the journeys and undertakings that you have gone on. How did you get together with Peter?
So I've actually been following Peter's work for a while. One day, I think it was in the beginning of September, I saw an Instagram story that he posted, and he was asking if anyone had any story ideas for him in New York City. So I just responded, and I said, hey, I'd love to show you around the Hasidic community of New York. And he, you know, I wasn't expecting to hear back from him at all, but within a couple of minutes, he said, hey, let's do it.
Peter, what were you thinking?
I was thinking, what a great opportunity, because this is a community I know nothing about. Most non-Hasidics, I think, or non-Jewish people know nothing about. So it's my type of stuff, my type of content. So it was great.
Right. So first of all, I have regards from you from a listener in the Ukraine, Ronnie Aptica, okay. Also a filmmaker. When he heard me announcing earlier this morning that you were going to be on the show, he actually started sending me a whole lot of photos of you in that area. So the world is a lot smaller than you think.
Hello, Ronnie, if he's out there. Yeah, I moved back from the States about 2 months ago. I lived in Ukraine for 4 years. My wife and I just moved back, so I met him there.
Incredible. So tell me your impressions of the Hasidic community. As you say, it's a world that many of us Jews know very little about. Here in South Africa, although we've got a very strong community, we don't have a very strong Hasidic community. So the world of New York Hasidic Jews is very different, even for us. What was your impression?
Yeah, well, it's really a trip to go into New York and in these neighborhoods, these three Hasidic neighborhoods, and you feel like you enter another country. So you get a lot of looks as like you're a foreigner, a lot of curiosity, a lot of stoic looks, I would say. And first impressions, I mean, I didn't know anything about Hasidic Jews. I'll be completely honest. I mean, I watched the series Unorthodox, right? Like many people. And you know, I saw Hasidic Jews in the airports, and that was my exposure. So Shloime brought me into a different world, and it was amazing. Like first impressions, first of all, the sukkahs set up for the holiday, right? So you have all these shacks out there, and all these balconies that were set up as sukkahs. It reminded me of Ukraine actually, because they like set up their balconies like that. So that was interesting off the bat. And then just the first thing that really grabbed me was just this, it's a very tight knit, closed, I would say, but, warm and efficient community that they've made for themselves. And this is my first impressions. I spent a day out there, so I'm no expert. I'm not going to claim to be an expert on any of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I watched the videos, and they're incredible because it really does give such an interesting perspective, and you land up even as a Jew watching this from the outside in, from the inside out, and it's done with real openness. And when I started looking at your other features, that is the defining factor, isn't it? Because you go in with no judgment and just openness to experience different people's cultures and backgrounds.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm a curious person, so it's sort of a selfish thing. This is what I do on my own, and then I started to think, how can I make something out of this? And then it seems like other people are very interested in that approach, so I'm happy doing it. I really enjoy doing it, and it's interesting of another Jewish journalist reached out, and he said, wow, this, you know, you go in without prejudgment and, you know, trying to push an angle. He's like, he was shocked, like there was something amazing. And isn't that what, I'm not a journalist at all, but isn't that what it's supposed to be? Aren't you just supposed to go in and
observe,
listen to people
and
observe? You know, I'm not going to tell people how to live. I don't like being told, you know, Someone telling me how I should be living, you know, so it's.
And that's so interesting because that's really one of the challenges that we have today with journalism is there seems to be an insistent on telling us what to think and how to think it rather than actually just presenting. So it's quite interesting that a YouTube video or a YouTuber going into this environment is actually doing what journalists should be doing all along. I just want to just ask Shlomi the question. Shlomi, your invitation came with a tremendous responsibility. And in some ways, you must have been quite nervous. I know I would have been bringing somebody who's got a very large following into an area. You can't control how people were going to behave. But because you're Hasidic, a Hasid, you almost become a representative of this community. You must have been nervous.
Yeah, so in no way do I try to represent myself as a representative of the community. I'm just a member of the community. Obviously, I broke the unspoken rule, which is, you know, don't cause more problems than there already are. And the media had just descended on Brooklyn the week before, really picking on the Hasidic community in particular because of the way they were acting with COVID. Even though in other communities, others weren't too careful either. And I'm not saying the Hasidic community wasn't careful, but for some reason, they were singled out for bad treatment in New York City. So I sort of said, Peter, why don't you come on in? And maybe it was a responsibility, but I was very confident that things were going to work out because I know the true heart and soul of the community. And even though we're often represented in a bad way, I know that as a general rule, there's a wonderful community. And I was very proud of it, and I'm glad that everything worked out well.
And are you happy?
I was sure it would.
And are you happy with the product? Do you think it did? Peter, don't listen for just a moment. Talk amongst yourselves there. Are you happy with the product, Shlomi?
I could not be happier with what happened. As I said, I know it's a wonderful community. Peter was welcome. Peter was made to feel comfortable. He asked any question that he felt like asking, and he got genuine answers to everything he asked. You know, as I told Peter that it may be a community with a hard shell, but once you crack it, they are the warmest people. And, you know, if you come in with an open mind and you're willing to really learn, if you come in without your own biases, without your own agenda, the Hasidic community will be most welcoming to you.
So Peter, you mentioned at the beginning of the interview around Unorthodox, which of course has taken the world by a storm. Many people watch it, Jews, non-Jews. It portrayed the Hasidic community in a very specific light. It was a very focused story of one person's experience, which might be many people's experience. But what it does is it creates an impression of a very hard, intolerant, difficult, judgmental community. It might be all of those things, but having seen that and having spent the time there, coming out of it, how do you reconcile the two?
Well, I just think, here's an example I said in one of the videos. If you take an apartment building, in that apartment building are many stories existing, coexisting at the same time. Someone could be making love, a couple could be making love. In another apartment, maybe there's abuse going on. In another apartment, a baby was born not long ago. And so all of these are truths, and they all exist. And that's my point I try to bring across in my work is I'm not saying Unorthodox is untrue. I don't know. I watch it as a spectator. I didn't do any of the research. I'm sure there's some very dark stories that come out of the community, just like any community. And there are some very light ones. I just try to bring my viewer into what I see. And Shlomi didn't bring me into the dungeons. You know, we met some really cool people, had amazing experiences. And that's how I try to show all my content. Mm. And I feel like you go online, what is it going to be? 99% negative about the Hasidic community? I don't know what it is. But it's not like there's much positive coming out of there, which is completely unjust. No, so I'm just saying it's hard for some in this ecosystem we're in, you know, where everything gets sort of distilled and projected in a very narrow, on very, very narrow bandwidth. Like this is black and this is white, right? Mm-hmm. It's just not, you know, life is not that way. And a community like any community has all sorts of spectrums of the rainbow. It's dark, it's light, there's everything. right?
Well, there's nuance in everything. And again, going back to journalism, that's exactly what we're finding, is that we are living in a world where people are looking for black and white, good and evil, left or right. We're losing nuance. And to some extent, that's what your video is not just about the Hasidic community. That's what your videos are doing. And just so you know, on Friday evening, we were sitting at our dinner table and my 19-year-old son said, Dad, you've got to watch this guy. I follow him on YouTube. He does these videos of different areas and communities, and he's just done one of the Hasidic community. You've got to see it. And I said, well, you should know that he's probably going to be on my show. So as I said to Shlomi, I was quite cool for once in the eyes of my 19-year-old, just because I was anticipating speaking to you. So I do appreciate that. It's the little things that you've actually done for me on a personal level. So thank you for that.
Thanks,
Eric. One of the kids in the video I found quite fascinating. I don't know exactly how old he is. He was one of these wise beyond his years kids who seem to have this very deep and nuanced philosophy of life. What was your impression of the kids in general and that kid?
I think his name's pronounced Shlomi. Is it Shame or Shame?
Chaim.
How do you say it?
Chaim.
Okay. Chaim, he was the only kid I really talked to for a bit of time. Wow, he was exactly that, wise beyond his years. I mean, he had more to offer than most, you know, more interesting things to say than most, you know, more wisdom than most 50-year-olds or 60-year-olds even, right? Like, I could talk to that kid for a half a day and really be entertained and learn a lot from him. And he was just, it was interesting. You know, this is what's so interesting about the Hasidic community. You know, you have the Amish, which I'm going to get into that community too, down the road, but they're preserving their culture, but they're in the countryside, right?
Where you have they've removed themselves, correct.
Smack in the center of the biggest city in America, right? Holding on. And that's a unbelievable discipline. And people slip, I'm sure, but you know, there's a lot to be learned from what I saw from this community, like discipline being number one. And this kid came forward. He's like, he tells his dad not to look at his smartphone. And he's saying, you know, look at the sky, look at the star, look at the sun, look at all this beauty around. Why do you have to interfere?
Incredible.
What's here?
I mean, listen, I would send him off to boarding school if he was my kid. I don't need somebody telling me what to do. It's bad enough.
You think it's a bad thing, but no, it was the best thing
incredible.
That happened because you didn't go down in the plane.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Beautiful little nuggets like that.
It is it is true. So where to next?
I actually was working on going into some Native American reservations. And Shlomi called me, I don't know, a week ago, and he said, Peter, this really went well. We can go in deeper. We can go in more into this space. I'm like, you know, and it was the morning.
I'm like, just keep Shlomi, away from the Shlomi guy. I don't know. I think he's a bad influence. I would keep away, as far as away from him as possible.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, in the morning, I'm like, Shlomi, that's great. And I'm like, that's a 20% chance. By the end of the day, I was 100% home. Okay, I'm going back to work. We have great stories. We have like 7 or 8 videos lined up. One being about the rescue service. Now they, you know, in 120 seconds, you know, I find this hard to believe. But if someone gets hurt, there's going to be an ambulance there in 120
that's
seconds.
Incredible.
We're going to get into the... Shlomi, can I tell some of these ideas or should I wait?
Tell them whatever you want.
Okay. Well, about the sex coaching, because obviously couples are virgins when they get together and they actually go through a formalized process with a sex coach. And so I want to talk to one of these sex coaches. I find that very interesting. I could have used one when I was younger. We're going to get into some musicians. I'm going to do a story with a Hasidic woman.
Amazing.
A couple other ideas.
Yeah.
So that's what's next.
Absolutely incredible. Shlomi, and you, of course, are loving every moment about this because this really speaks to your truth as well, which is to showcase people for what they are and just to bridge gaps, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's what I enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm. Shlomi, you of course, part of this whole idea, this talks to your philosophy and to everything that you are trying to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I've actually, I would say if you ask me who inspired me before I started doing what I did, I'd definitely say Peter is one of those people who I said, you know, I want to do that. I want to go out there and bridge gaps in the world. I have my specific niche in the Arab and Muslim world, but Peter's doing it on a much larger scale. And he certainly should be admired for that.
Absolutely right. Peter, how do, for our listeners who don't yet follow you, how do they do that?
Sure. My name is Peter Santinello, which is S-A-N-T-E-N-E-L-L-O. And that's my YouTube channel. That's my Instagram. That's my Facebook. So if you type in Peter Santen, S-A-N-T-E-N, I'll come up.
And I urge you to go and watch those videos. They are absolutely incredible. Go and watch them. Do yourself that favor. Peter is in Los Angeles. Shlomi is in New York. Guys, I really appreciate you staying up to this really ungodly hour of the night in order to speak to us here in Johannesburg, South Africa.